In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. My name is Jim Bernanke. I am the rector retired from Christ Church in Albemarle, retired last summer. I'm glad to be here with you as your guest celebrant this morning. Deacon Jackie is giving a retreat at Canoga. Father Michael is at the Bishop's Ball, which is a young people's retreat. Pastor Nancy is away doing another service. And Deacon Vern and I are here holding the fort, at least for today. But glad to be here. The scripture readings today, the three readings that you've heard, all seem to talk about conversation between God and somebody, an individual or individuals. And somehow that conversation moving people to go forward. We see in the first reading, Isaiah being given this wonderful vision of God, this awesome vision. And Isaiah listens intently to God, and God says, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Send me." In the gospel reading, we see Peter and his partners out at the lake, no catches all night. And Jesus tells them to go out and put into the deep water. And there's so many fish that it's starting to sink the boats, even with James and John helping Peter. And Peter has this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus says, "You're not going to be a fisher of fish, you're going to be a fisher of people." And in the second reading today, St. Paul recalls that he was once a persecutor of Christians, but the risen Lord Jesus appeared to him, and now he's changed from somebody who persecutes Christians to one who is adamantly in support of them and praising Jesus and proclaiming him throughout the world. Now, we see these miraculous kinds of things happening in the scripture, but folks, the one thing that's clear is that God has given us Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We are commissioned, just like Isaiah, Paul, and Peter, to proclaim the good news. But that involves or requires a conversation with God first. We can say, well, how do we converse with God? Well, there are a lot of ways. The problem I see it in our culture is that we really don't know how to communicate well. I remember a friend of mine telling me that he was driving his daughter and his daughter's girlfriend out to some kind of school event. And it was really quiet in the back seat. And he looks at his rearview mirror, and the two of them are texting to each other. They're right next to each other. They're texting. We do a lot good or maybe not so good with the electronic media, but somehow it's really difficult to communicate face-to-face. I think the electronics are causing us to be even worse in that regard. I tried to talk one time in my parish with somebody about a baptism. It was a younger couple. And I left a phone message and didn't get a response. So I had to go ahead and text this person and finally get a response after I texted. Also, there's another problem. You know that people don't like to talk about politics or religion with each other because they know they're going to get in trouble sooner or later. And I'll throw the third thing in, sports, especially if you're not a Patriots fan. It's really hard to talk about sports now. That being said, I believe we start with our conversation with God. Folks, whether you believe it or not, it's true. God converses with us every single moment of our lives. Remember St. Paul saying, "In him we live and move and have our being"? That's true. If God stopped thinking about us for 1 second, we wouldn't be here. We're all in God's heart, and God speaks to us. The problem is God doesn't necessarily speak to us in human words. God speaks to us in nature. God speaks to us through his word, through the word of God. And God speaks to us also in the people that come into our lives. Charles, your senior warden, mentioned before the first service that he saw a beautiful sunrise this morning. I didn't happen to see the sunrise, but I was at an event. I'm also a ham radio operator in Stanley County. We had this event. It's the first run of the year. And this is the title of it. It's called the Fellowship of the Idiots Run. And what it is, on a cold morning like yesterday, 42 degrees outside, there were over 200 people that came into Albemarle to start this run at 5:30 in the morning, pitch black, and run all the way from Albemarle up to Morrow Mountain, which is our small mountain outside of town, and come back. Now, I don't know why they call it the Fellowship of the Idiots Run, but there are some reasons maybe for that. But I'll tell you, talking about sunrise, they timed it that way so that by the time the runners get to the top of Morrow Mountain, they see the sun coming right up out of the horizon. A beautiful sight. And I think we can thank God for beautiful sunrises, beautiful sunsets, the beauty in nature, and the wonderful things that happen to us. And even if there's something that doesn't happen to us that we'd like to see, we can still thank God, because no matter what, God is still loving us through everything. That's part of our conversation with God. I've always had a rule, and I think it's a good rule, at least for me to follow, is that no matter how long I pray or how often, I should take 5 times out a day to pray. When I get up in the morning, when I go to bed, and before each meal. I have a friend who has a half a foot in the Methodist tradition, where some people are more comfortable praying from the heart. But we shouldn't be afraid of that. Sometimes when he comes over to our house, I invite him to come and offer prayer. And he speaks from his heart. Mind you, the prayer formulas in the prayer book are fine, but it's nice every once in a while, at least, either in addition to or in place of the formal prayers we normally pray before meals, talk to God from our heart. Thank God for the meal, for everybody who had a hand in bringing this meal to our table. And thank God for being with us as our special guest at the meal. And we can say that in our own words. We don't have to use formula prayers. But when we do things like that, speaking to God from our heart, we recognize that God's there. God's loving us in this. And God is always a special part of our meal and every other activity. So when we talk to God in prayer, and we also ask God for intercession for people who are in need, and including our own needs, we can go and start talking to other people. As I said before, politics is a really difficult thing to talk about, especially when you try to put God into politics. Some people have taken the Bible out of context and say that God wants this or God wants that candidate. Sometimes I think God doesn't care who's winning an election. Maybe God has some thoughts for us in Jesus. But if you look at the Bible, look at the Beatitudes, I think God will tell us whom we need to vote for, one way or the other. But I think part of our division in our country is because we don't know how to have not only a civil conversation, but a civil Christian conversation about politics. I don't like going on Facebook a lot, but once in a while I do. And there was a conversation that took place about an incident that happened about 2-3 weeks ago. There were 2 rallies going on. There was a Native American rally and a Right to Life rally. Covington Catholic High School students were involved, And there was also an African-American group involved besides the Native Americans and these high school students. And in the blogs that were going back and forth, I could clearly see that it just wasn't about that event. It's about a person's political spin on that event. So if you were pro this or pro that, that determined how the people were going to be involved in that conversation. And it ended up to a personal attack on people. I mean, everybody's entitled to speak their piece. But then I put a little jab in. It was a nice jab. It wasn't a nasty one. But I just said, you know, as a Christian and as a priest, I'm wondering where Jesus is in this whole conversation. It stopped. It just like when I was taking a flight to Texas for an immersion in Spanish, I was sitting next to this one lady from Texas. She was an accountant with Whataburger. Not this Whataburger, but the Whataburgers in Texas, which are different than these Whataburgers. And I know she was making a diatribe. She said, those people in the Charlotte area, they stole our name and all this stuff. Well, I mean, okay. So we're having a conversation. I'm asking her what she's doing. And she says, well, what do you do for a living? Now, I was in my civvies. And I said, well, I'm a priest. Dead silence. What'd you say to a priest? Well, how are you? You know, how's life? If you're an Episcopal priest who's married, how's your wife? How's your family? We have this thing that when we bring religion in or there's something about religion in a conversation, we back off, almost like we're afraid to talk about it. Well, doesn't Jesus love you? Doesn't Jesus love the person that you're talking to, even if that person is diametrically opposed to you politically? Hard to believe, but Jesus loves all of us. And if we could try to get in our conversation something about God, not that God wants this party to win or that party to win. No, let's not talk about political parties, but where is the honesty, the real honesty about the discussion that we're with? And to take our emotions and our political preferences off on the side and to really listen to the other person and to try to see where they're coming from. And is there any possibility for common ground? I think that's really important, because I think in our country, we have a lot more that unifies us than divides us. God is calling all of us to be missionaries of Jesus Christ. Jesus commissions us by our baptism to go forth and make disciples. I know St. Francis of Assisi said, evangelize, use words if necessary. I know we can do evangelism by our good works, but we do need to talk to each other. But sometimes just having a listening ear and empathizing with the person maybe who's having a really bad day or a bad week, and just telling them that you may not understand because you're not necessarily in their situation, but you support them with prayer and hope that things get better. That can be one of the best evangelizations or evangelisms in the world. The last thing I want to share with you is having conversations daily with God, knowing God on a first-name basis, and being able to share that with prayer and also with our relationships with one another, we can really go out like Isaiah, like Peter, like Paul, and make disciples of Jesus. Jesus isn't asking us to proselytize, to put necessarily make members for All Saints Episcopal Church. But Jesus is asking us, by the way we treat each other, by the way we talk and listen to each other, to make disciples. And if they join All Saints Church, praise God. If they don't, if they join another church, praise God. If they're thinking about it, praise God. Let's pray. Loving and most wonderful God, Thank you for bringing us here together this morning to praise you and to return the great love you have for us in Jesus. We may not be great theologians. We may not be like Isaiah or Peter and Paul, but we are your beloved children. You love each and every one of us. Thank you for bringing us here together to worship you, and thank you for sending us out after this service to continue to love you and to love one another. For in loving other people and reaching out to them, we reach out back to your Son, Jesus. Thank you for giving us the tools, our personalities, our voices, our electronics, to be able to reach out to others with the good love of Jesus. Help us to continue to use all these gifts to build up your kingdom and to make disciples for your Son, Jesus. All this we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.